I'm Kayla Allen, and I was here last week. I'm back this week, and we're launching into our series, Bucket List, again. And this is about the spiritual practices that God wants us to live holy and free in our lives. And when I think of bucket list, I traditionally think of stuff that's fun, right? Like lists of restaurants you want to visit, or fun places to travel, like Paris and Australia and London, and maybe hiking in the Alps. Maybe it's a list of books you want to read, but it's fun, it's adventure, right? Yeah. Well, today, this spiritual practice is not fun. Yeah, and in fact, it's actually really hard. And when Elizabeth asked me to preach 2 weeks in a row, I really kind of resisted, especially when I saw that the topics were anxiety, which was last week, and then this week, which is forgiveness. I thought, man, what is she doing to me? But God made it clear. He and I had some work to do around forgiveness, and all week I've been praying for you as well as myself that we would be people that choose forgiveness because of the freedom and the wholeness that it brings to our lives. So it's not just me. I think we can all agree that forgiveness is something that we need in our lives. If you drive a car in Northern Virginia, yeah, you are in need of forgiveness. Take, for instance, the summer after my daughter Claire was born, I think she was about 6 weeks, I was driving home from Target, I think. I was a total zombie. I hadn't slept, and I kind of got on the road that goes to my house, and I was in total, like, just zone mode, you know, you get, and I forgot that my merge lane was there, and so real quick, I just merged into the turn lane, and this woman started honking, you know, what we do in Northern Virginia, we're like, honk, 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 like crazy arms, lots of not-so-churchy words, and I was like, oh, man, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to, and it's right, I was wrong, I probably should have, you know, looked, took my time, used my turn signal, but what shocked me was that she then proceeded to follow me home. Yeah, she tailgated me in a rage all the way to my house, and then she waited until I got my 2-year-old son and my newborn baby out of the car, and from the road, she got out and continued to curse me, and just anger and rage and words and hand motions, and I think she even threatened my life, and I remember standing in the driveway just being like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, and in hindsight, I probably should have just went in the house, because someone who's that angry, you don't move toward them. And then what really tipped it off is she got back in her car, slammed the door, and peeled out, tire marks, smoke, the whole bit, drove off in a rage. And it's pretty clear to me, this woman was not interested in forgiveness. She wanted revenge. And I think that's typical with us. When someone wrongs us or causes us pain, it's not easily to move toward forgiveness. We want them to pay. I think today we can agree that forgiveness is complicated, especially when we think of the wide range of hurt and pain in the world. And I think John did that well today in his prayer of confession. It's the things that we refuse to do and the things that we do. It's sexual abuse. It's physical abuse. It's war and terrorism. It's racism and ethnic cleansing. It's the harsh words that we say in our home, the weird and awful thoughts we think about other people who hurt us. And that's the sin and the evilness. It's the brokenness that's all around us in our world. We live in a world where revenge comes natural, and we want to look out for number one. We think that we'll be successful and protected if we keep looking out for ourselves. Forgiveness can come across as a weakness, not a strength. But let me assure you today, when even the unthinkable happens in our world, even like the worst and the hardest stuff that happens in our world, forgiveness is possible. And we can live with hope. And how do we do that? Well, it's through knowing that we're not alone, that God is with us, and He alone has the power to change our world. In fact, that's why Jesus came. God knew that our world needed saving. We're all sinful. We're all broken. We all need forgiveness. We hurt others, and others hurt us. No one is exempt. And that's why God sent Jesus to make our life and our world right again. God wants to offer us forgiveness, and He wants us to do the same to those around us. Forgiveness is one of the most powerful spiritual practices for healing our lives and for healing our world. But it's not easy. in Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis says this about forgiveness. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. I think that about sums it up. We're all about forgiveness, especially as Christians. We're like, yeah, forgiveness is great until it gets personal. And then we start wrestling. Think about it. When you get hurt, what is your first response? Well, I know for me, it's bitterness and hatred. It's anger. Sometimes we have thoughts about how to make the person who hurt us suffer. Our hurt and heartache are met with disappointment and rage. Revenge can seem to consume us. And we think we want justice. However, when we hurt others, our natural response is not to rush in and ask for forgiveness, but rather we justify our actions, and we may even move to prove our case or make a defense. We can outline a story that makes the best possible outcome for us. Let's take it back to driving. Imagine you're on a road trip, maybe with your family or your friends, and you see a car speeding, maybe a race car, going really fast, I mean, weaving in and out of traffic, totally reckless. And then you pass a cop in the median. What are your thoughts? Go get them. Yeah, they deserve it. Or if you're in my car, it's like, pull them over, handcuff them, send them to jail. Yeah, maybe it's just me who's angry, yeah. And then a few days later, you're driving, right? And maybe you're doing the typical 10 over, which is what I do and I shouldn't, but I do that. And you just, 10 over, like, oh, whatever. So you're speeding, and then you pass a cop. What are your thoughts? Oh, yeah, please, 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 please don't pull me over. Or maybe it's the justification. I wasn't actually going that fast. Or for me, I can be in like the, okay, I know exactly what I'll tell him. I'll tell him I didn't know the speed limit. So it's pretty clear. When we're wrong, we want mercy. But when others are wrong, we want justice. And forgiveness is something that we all struggle with. We all struggle. But as a Christian, it's not optional. Forgiveness is at the core of what it means to follow Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we offer the same forgiveness to others that he offered to us. And it doesn't happen instantly. For many of us, the process to follow Jesus took time, and so is it with forgiveness. It's over time, and it's a process. And what we know is that it's not going to be easy. It may be painful, but guys, trust me, it is so worth it. And you can't do it on your own. We just can't. We need God. Only God can give us the power to execute forgiveness in our lives. Our text for today addresses the struggle by outlining a list of do's and don'ts when it comes to forgiveness. And Paul gives us some really practical tips, and I want to get to those, but before I do, I thought we'd jump in and just take a few minutes to outline what forgiveness is not. I think for some reason in the church, we can get really weird and mixed messages about what forgiveness is. And so I wanted to just take a few minutes and outline four things that forgiveness is not. And so first, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's just not. And this may disappoint you because we are called to forgive whether or not you feel like it. Forgiveness is not based on what you feel in the moment, and it's simply an act of obedience. So whether or not you feel like it, you forgive. The second is this. Forgiveness does not mean that something is not a sin. Sin is sin is sin or sin. I really don't know who said that. Maybe it was me, and you can put my name next to it. But sin is sin is sin is sin. There's just some things in the world that are wrong. When we've been hurt in horrific ways, it's often sin. And forgiving the abuser doesn't erase the fact that it was wrong. It doesn't erase the fact that it was sin. And sometimes offering forgiveness doesn't mean that we don't press legal action. Sometimes when we've been hurt in terrible ways, the justice system is necessary. So I hope you'll hear this today. You are free to call something sin and still respond in forgiveness. Forgiveness is the place where we invite Jesus to heal us and then help us move forward. But that doesn't mean what happened wasn't wrong. All right, next. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we allow someone who's hurt us back into our lives. Forgiveness doesn't demand reconciliation. Forgiveness and reconciliation are actually two very different things. And there's wisdom in Scripture about how to let people who've hurt us back into our lives. We work for peace. We hope and pray for reconciliation. But that doesn't mean it's safe to be in a relationship with someone who's hurt you. God calls us to healthy boundaries, and those are a really good thing. They protect us. And especially when trust is broken, it takes time to rebuild. Trust doesn't come back easily. And in some cases, reconciliation isn't possible. But forgiveness always is. All right, guys, this last one is hard. At least for me, it's hard. Forgiveness is not a one-time event. Bummer, right? Bummer. It's not a one-time event. I mean, man, I wish it was. I like to be efficient. I like to check things off my list. I like to do it all at once. And for me, when I finally muster up the courage to forgive, I just want to get it all done. It's kind of like when you bring a lot of groceries home and you get all the plastic bags out of the car and you're carrying them up the steps, all the bags, you drop them off. That's what I want. I want to haul it all to Jesus, leave it at the cross, done. That's the kind of forgiveness I want. But it doesn't work like that. Forgiveness is a continual choice. It's a one trip at a time, over and over and over again. It's a deliberate act that we do. And that's why forgiveness is part of our spiritual practices, and it's on our bucket list today. It's an ongoing choice that we're going to have to make as we follow Jesus. And when we do it, it frees us in ways that only Jesus can. And it alone has the power to remake our world. Okay, so now that we've talked about what forgiveness is not, it's not a feeling, doesn't mean reconciliation, it's not a one-time event, doesn't always feel good, let's take a moment and think about what forgiveness is. And so I said our text today is from Romans, and it gives us a clear outline of what we're to do when we come face to face with the brokenness and the sin in our world. And last week we were in Philippians, this week we're in Romans, and both are letters that Paul wrote from prison. He's writing to Christians in Rome. And if you think about Rome, it's a very diverse city, much of like what we would think of Paris or London or Washington, D.C., or even New York. So there's a lot of different types of people living in the city. And what we know is when there's great diversity, I think we see this here, there's great opportunity for misunderstanding, segregation and conflict. People can really hurt each other when there's a diverse impact. And so Paul here is teaching the church how to live at peace, and he's emphasizing the power that can come when we trust Jesus and offer forgiveness. So let's take a look at the letter. I've had highlighted two categories. We're first going to look at, in bold, the things that we're not to do. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you can see here in bold that we're not to curse one another. We're not to be proud or conceited. We're not to repay with evil. We're not to take revenge. And finally, we're not to be overcome with evil. I think this is a pretty good outline for when we've been wronged, what we can think to do. It seems that nothing can rid us of the pain, and so we start believing that we're the only person that can make it right. We curse the person, or we outline how they've been wrong. We become more proud in our status and our education. We prove that we want to get back what's ours. We want to make the justice. We even make threats. And then there's the revenge, right? That we want someone to pay often more than we did for their actions. But what we know is vengeance is a really poor solution to anything. Miroslav Volf, who's a Croatian Protestant theologian, he's also a scholar and a thinker. He was part of the Faith and Culture Institute here in D.C. He can write graphically about what an unforgiving spirit can do. And so here are his words. Revenge doesn't say an eye for an eye. It says, you take my eye, I'll blow your brains out. It doesn't say an insult for an insult. It says, you cross me once, you cross me twice, and I'll destroy your character and your career. Revenge doesn't say, you organize an act of terror and we'll punish you. It says, you organize an act of terror and we will use the overwhelming military force of a superpower to recast the political landscape of the region from which you came. Pretty graphic, huh? And this is what Paul says when, this is what Paul means when he says, do not be overcome with evil. Revenge acts out of injured pride and untamed fear, and it takes far more from the abuser than is due. When unforgiveness strikes, it hits us at our core, and it's not good for anyone. An unforgiving spirit can come out really sideways. Our pain always comes out sideways to those around us. I want you to think about the woman who followed me home. She tailgated me and followed me home and threatened my life because I cut her off in traffic. What unresolved issue caused her to act so extreme? What we know is God doesn't want our pain and our brokenness to hold us hostage. He doesn't want Northern Virginia traffic to cause us to threaten one another. God has given us a better way. So let's look here in bold at how we are to live with one another. And it's this. Bless, rejoice, mourn, live in harmony, be willing to associate with people of low position, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, live at peace, leave room for God's wrath, and then take care of one another. If your enemy is hungry, you feed them. If they're thirsty, you give them something to drink. And then this last one, which I think is so important. We can overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. I think that is so powerful. Forgiveness has the power to change the world. What we know is that Paul knows that forgiveness is challenging. I'm sure he has his own list of people in his mind as he's been in jail and in prison and faced persecution. But he also knows that forgiveness is the key to unleashing God's love on the world. He saw it firsthand as he encountered the resurrected Jesus. So let me say it again. Forgiveness is not easy. It takes work. It's a process. It can be really painful. And if you're like me, there's moments where you just don't want to forgive. And you find yourself thinking, it's just not fair. There should be consequences. They should pay. You may even start to plot revenge and think about the best way to make them pay, or worse, wish them dead. And what we know is that's because of sin. Because of sin, hearts will be broken. It's because of sin that relationships will be severed and families and communities will be ripped apart. And forgiveness is not about us setting the record straight. It's not about what we do to make it right. That's God's job. There's only one way to heal all that's wrong in the world, and that's a debt that needs to be paid, and that's already been done. That's already been done by Jesus' work on the cross. He is the one who set the world right again. He took the pain. He bore our sin. He canceled the debt. And so God is the one who gets to decide what justice looks like. Not us. God. So remember this today. Forgiveness puts the responsibility of justice back into God's hands. We may think we know best, but trust me, God's ways are better. In fact, I would say God's ways are best. And it may take longer than we expect. It might look different than we thought. It may not even be seen in this life. But we can trust God to do justice. And as much as we can trust him to make all that is wrong in the world right again, we can trust him to set us free from being hostage to unforgiveness. That's exactly what unforgiveness does. It holds us back. It makes us bitter and angry. It keeps us from receiving love and loving others the way God wants us to. You see, we don't have to be defined by the worst thing that's ever happened to us, or the worst thing that we've ever done. through Christ, our identity is not in our sin, but in how loved we are. And forgiveness has the opportunity to set us free. It changes everything. So some of you know my story, but I want to start here today. When I was a little girl, about 9, my dad left our family. And as you can imagine, the pain was intense. The consequences for my life, significant. It was an absolute huge turning point in my story. It's as if I could draw a line. Life before Dad left, and then life after Dad left. And it turned everything upside down for my mom and my brothers and me. And so I have my own story of forgiveness with my parents, and someday I'll tell you. But today I want to focus on my mom's story. And it was really beautiful this week. I had the opportunity to talk to her and hear it right from her mouth of the beauty and the life that she's had because she chose to forgive. You see, my mom had every right to be bitter and angry. There was unfaithfulness. There was abandonment. There was rejection, betrayal. But in all her pain, the thing that made her stomach churn the most was the way that my dad refused to pay child support. The court only assigned him $100 a month, and you'd think for 3 kids, that's a pretty low fee, but he refused to pay it. He thought, I really believe, that if he were to give my mom money, that she would blow it on herself or in going to the bar. And in talking to mom, that couldn't have been further from the truth. There were so many needs for us 3 small children. Just think of the sports fees alone. 3 kids in sports, so that's 3 seasons of fees, 3 seasons of shoes, 3 seasons of travel and food. And that $100 would have been really helpful, but my dad, he just refused to pay. And for years, my mom said she would see my dad to his grave over that child support. There were times where she issued several warrants for his arrest. There were several court hearings that my dad, of course, didn't show up to, and he just kept refusing to pay. But my mom kept fighting. She refused to give in. So what happened, though, over time, I think it was actually when all of us kids were out of college and my oldest brother had actually gotten married, my mom started to see that we kind of made it through the storm, and she just started to reflect. I also had a tribe of women praying for my mom, praying for myself and my dad for healing, for reconciliation, and I really believe that God used those prayers to help my mom forgive my dad. So powerfully, after 13 years of fighting for revenge, $25,000 in child support, my mom chose forgiveness. And she said she wanted peace. She said she wanted to feel whole. And she wanted to forgive. So right around Easter, my mom walked into the county courthouse and she asked the clerk, "What do I need to do to forgive my ex-husband of his child support debt?" And she was simply handed a paper and all she had to do was sign. That's it. One signature, wipe the debt clean. She told me she instantly felt a relief and she couldn't start smiling from ear to ear. And as she walked out of the courthouse, several people stopped her and was like, "What happened in there? Like, people don't walk out this happy, you know?" And she was like, I forgave my ex-husband. And so today I want you to hear, in her words, a little bit of what this experience meant. And this is what she said to me this week. She said, "I knew there were people praying for me, and that gave me strength. I was nowhere close to God, but I had to trust that it would be better. And once I did it, forgive the debt. It was. I now see that the only one I was punishing was me. It didn't hurt him, but it paralyzed me." And that's what unforgiveness does in our lives. It keeps us from moving forward. It keeps us tethered to our pain. After my mom forgave my dad, it was this springboard of healing in our lives. My mom felt free to remarry, which she did that fall. My dad was now free to travel between states, and that allowed him a greater relationship with his grandchildren and my brothers and I. He wasn't no longer afraid of being jailed or pulled over. And eventually, it led to the restoration of my dad and I's relationship. But hear this. Forgiveness is powerful, but it takes time. It's really unrealistic to ask someone who's in the midst of their pain to forgive. There's no way my mom could have done this her first year of divorce. 13 years. It took my mom 13 years. But look at the healing. Forgiveness gives us freedom to move forward, to let go. It didn't erase the sin of my dad. It didn't mean that we forgot what happened. And it didn't mean we stopped praying for healing. There was so much more to be healed in our lives. But what it did mean is that my mom was no longer defined by what was owed to her. I want you to take a look at this picture. This is my dad and my mom and myself, 15 years after my dad left. The last picture I have of my parents was before the divorce, and then this is 15 years later. And this is God's healing power in our lives. And the reason we're kind of dressed in these weird work clothes is because my mom and my dad went on a work missions trip with me, and they were able to serve alongside one another. It was so weird. Like, after 15 years of my parents, like, not even being in the same room, here I am, like, in the same van, and we're playing Scrabble together, and my dad's doing roofing, my mom's cleaning up the kitchen, and so wild, right? But this is God's power of forgiveness. So let me wrap it up with this. We overcome evil and wrong and brokenness in the world when we offer love and grace to one another. And I'm not saying we do it perfectly, but with God's help, we do our best. And when we do, we will see how forgiveness has the power to change the world. This is at the heart of every growing Christian's life, that we forgive. No matter what, we forgive. And when we do, we will see God change the world. And we can trust him. Only he has the power to make all that is wrong right again. Let us pray. God, sometimes it's hard to believe that you will make things right in our lives. And we can struggle to resist and hold on to the pain, hold on to the brokenness. We can think that we deserve revenge. But today, God, we want to give it to you. We want to choose forgiveness. And so, God, would you help us loosen our grip on our pain? Would you begin to untether the pain and the brokenness in our lives? Would you help us give back to you what is yours, that you are the God of justice, that you are the God that is making all things right? And we know it is possible, God, because as we think of the cross and how you take all the broken pieces of our lives and you make something beautiful, and through the cross, you offer us a grace and forgiveness that sets us free. We know, too, God, that no matter what we're going through, only you can give us the power to offer forgiveness. And so today, God, would you just come into our hearts and give us the courage to do so? And we want to see our world change. So, God, in your power, set us free to live in love like you do. In Jesus' name, amen.